Now, I know a lot of people who are dishonest that are Christians. They know the Word of God says a certain thing, but they will not admit that this is true. I never will forget the first time this was really brought home to my own mind. A friend of mine, who's a preacher, he made this statement. He said, "You know, Nap, when I was first saved, I didn't know anything about repentance. All I did was I just trusted Jesus to save me, and he did. And then as I began to study the Word of God, I began to find out about repentance, and I found out that you had to turn from your sin to be saved. And now I tell people they've got to turn from their sin, they've got to quit all their meanings, or God won't save them." That's divine. If he got saved by trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior, why can't everybody else get saved the same way? You know. Now he's being dishonest. He's trying to make people do something that he did not do himself. I know a lot of preachers that say the same thing, you know. They make you think that you've got to walk down an aisle and join a church to be saved. They make you think you've got to be baptized to be saved. No. You could be saved right where you're sitting, right this minute, without doing a thing. Just believe that Jesus did die in your place, and he did it all for you. He paid for your sin, he was buried, and he arose again the third day. That's not dishonest, because the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But we denounce the hidden things of darkness. We do not walk in craftiness. We do not, Paul says, we do not use our ability that we have learned, the philosophy and the psychology. And Paul was one of the most educated people in his day. And he knew how to argue. He knew how to set up a case, an airtight case, so you couldn't wiggle either way, you know. You know, the kind where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, you know. Like the lawyer puts it to you, you know, when did you stop beating your wife? You know. Well, if you say, "Well, I haven't," then that means you still are. Well, if you mean that, you know, if you haven't stopped, then you're still beating her. Or you haven't been beaten to start with. But you see, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Now, Paul knew how to do that. And there are a lot of people who know how to build an airtight case. And boy, they just use all kind of craftiness and cunningness instead of just presenting a simple, plain, clear gospel that you're a sinner, God loves you, and he died, paid for your sins, he was dead, and he rose again on the third day, and you're just trusted, you won't go to hell, but you go to heaven. Now, this is what Paul's saying. He doesn't walk in craftiness. Handling the Word of God deceitfully. And oh, how many people today handle the Word of God deceitfully. I was talking to a man yesterday who was doing this. He was talking about, "We want to go back to Pentecost." You know? And when they talk about going back to Pentecost, you can always smell a rat. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say it emphatically. And I mean this thing. These people who are always talking about going back to Pentecost, all right, if they would go back to Pentecost, it'd be great. It'd be tremendous. But that's not what they want to do. They want to take the Word of God, and they want to twist it, and they want to turn it, and they want to make it say something it did not say. Now, I want you to read Acts, the second chapter. And I want you to see exactly what Acts 2 says. And if this is not the truth, and you can show me from the Word of God where I am not right, and I am using the Word of God deceitfully, I'll quit. And we'll be a tongues church. Now listen to what the Word of God says. We don't have time to turn there this morning. But if this is not so, then we'll start speaking in tongues here like they do. But on the day of Pentecost, there were Christians. There were people who were saved. They were assembled together in a room. And the Holy Spirit came and he gave them the ability to speak in tongues, languages. The word tongue there is language. And they went out from that room, and they went and they preached in Jerusalem, and they preached in at least 16 different foreign languages that they did not know the night before. And they're all named there. And they said, we heard them speaking in our own language. In that word language, there is dialect. The wonderful words of God. They heard them speak the gospel in his own dialect. In other words, if Peter had been preaching here today, as he did on the day of Pentecost, because Peter only knew one language, and it was Aramaic, he would come down here and he would speak in a southern dialect to you where you could understand the gospel. If he had been in Brooklyn, he would have spoken in Brooklyn with that Brooklyn brogue. And he would explain to them in English, which he did not know the night before, the gospel. And that's all they did on Pentecost, was they presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. They told people how they weren't, how they didn't have to go to hell, but they could go to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And there are people all over this country today who are taking that and they're perverting it, and they are saying that it's some kind of ecstatic, a heavenly language that nobody knows. Bull. Now, if it's not like I said it, like I say, I'll be glad to change. I'll be glad to denounce all this, and we'll start learning how to speak in other languages, like a lot of folks do today. But let's don't take the Word of God and be deceitful with it. Let's say what the Word of God says, and when it doesn't say something, then let's leave it alone. But there are a lot of people who are taking the Word of God, and they're using it deceitfully today. And now, as soon as we get through Daniel on Sunday night, we're going to take up the book of Acts, and we're going to go through it verse by verse and chapter by chapter and see exactly what it says. And I'll be glad to change my mind about anything that the Word of God says. I don't want to be deceitful. But I do want to make it plain and simple and clear, where people can understand what it says. And it's what Paul says he wanted to do. He says, we do not handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man in the every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see, we want to use it not dishonestly. We don't want to use craftiness. We don't want to handle the Word of God deceitfully, but we do want to manifest it to people, so they can understand it, and they'll know what's going on. Notice the third verse. But if, and this word if means and it's true. If and it's true, if our gospel, if our good news is hidden, if our good news be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Friends, there are people out in this world who are lost. They're in darkness. They're on their way to hell. They do not understand God's love. They do not understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all their sins, past, present, and future. That he paid all. If they have to pay for one sin, they'll have to die and go to hell. They don't understand that. They think that he died and paid for part of their sins, but not all of them. Or, he died and paid for the good sins, but he didn't die and pay for the bad sins. Or maybe he died and paid for the bad sins, but he didn't die and pay for the good sins. Now, there's no such thing as a good sin. All of them are sinful and wicked and bad in God's sight. And one is just as bad as the other, because any rebellion against God, I don't care what kind it is, it's wicked. This is what Satan did. This is what Adam did. This is what we've all done, is rebel against God. Now, he says, these people who are lost, they are blinded. Notice the fourth verse. In whom the god of this age, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that what? Don't speak in tongues. It says to them that believe not. Those who do not believe, their minds are blinded. They cannot see. We live in a world that is in despair. We live in a world that is in turmoil. We live in a world that is in darkness, groping, desiring to know him, always looking for the truth but never finding it. friends, we have the truth. And I'm not boasting and I'm not bragging, because I don't know how in the world God ever pumped it into my thick skull that God loved me and Jesus paid for all my sin and I could have eternal life just by trusting Him. I had my own religion just like most of you had yours. I had listened to people all my life and they got me all gimped up, just like Mark was talking about. I thought was walking down the aisle and having a funny feeling down in your stomach, and when you had that funny feeling down in your stomach after walking out and taking the preacher by the hand, you were saved if they put you under the water. I did those things, and that was all I knew to do. Until in the age of 19, a fella took the Word of God and showed me that it was just by faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't perish. I didn't go to hell, but I had everlasting life. I'm so thankful to that man. He didn't even know about it until about 10 or 12 years later. I was saved in his Bible class one night after service in his cabin. He didn't even know what I was in there for. I just went in there and told him I need some help. We got on our knees and prayed. I don't even know what he prayed. I don't even know what he said. But I was down there and I realized that by his teaching of the Word of God that morning, that I could be saved by trusting Jesus. If I'd just get him and trust him, I'd be all right. I did that night. It just happened. I was down on my knees. I was inside that cabin. I could have done it walking home down the path that night. I could have done it that morning sitting in the class while he was teaching. It just happened that I did it that night. See, I could have done it on the way home. I could have done it after I got in the bed that night. It doesn't matter when or where. Just the main thing is that you do it, that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Satan had my mind blinded, and I could not see. And in this blinded world that we have today, you know, when people give out the light, when people just show people what Christ has done, and how simple it is, and how clear it is, and what all Jesus has done, that He paid for all sin, and we just trust Him, we have eternal life, the light is real bright. And they began to see, and they began to understand. Notice the fourth verse again. If our gospel is hid to those lost in whom the God of this world, and the God of this world is Satan. This is found in Ephesians, the second chapter, the second verse, the sixth chapter, the 12th verse. If you want to jot some more scripture down for this, John 14:30 and John 12:31. It says, Satan has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. The word image there means the exact image. There are two words in the Greek for image. One of them means exact image. And this word means He is the exact image of God. Good child of them. For we preach not ourselves. Paul said, no, we're not trying to brag on ourselves. And we're not trying to get people to trust us and believe in us. We're trying to get them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I've never asked you to trust me. I've never asked you to trust anything I said. But I have asked you over and over and over again to trust the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God says, then believe and trust that. And I don't care what man it is. I don't care what experience a person has had. We don't trust the experience. Because everybody's had different experiences, but the Word of God says one thing, and the Word of God means one thing. See? We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, everybody doesn't recognize Him as the Lord, but He's still the Lord. Just like everybody doesn't recognize Nixon as president, but he's still president. In fact, there are some that don't recognize Him at all, and they want to get rid of Him. And there are a lot of people who don't recognize Jesus as the Lord, and they want to get rid of Him too. But, you know, they're not going to do it. Now, they may get rid of Nixon, but they're not going to get rid of Jesus. Because the Bible says when He comes back to the earth, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, He's the Lord. And He is able to rule and to reign. He's able to make everybody bow down and worship. Now, He's not going to do it right now. That doesn't mean He's not able. You know, I might whip every fellow in this room, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to do it. I may be able, but that doesn't mean I'll do it. He's able, and one day he's going to do it. Everyone who doesn't want to, he's going to make them. Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. Well, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves, your servants. We're your servants for Christ's sake. You see, we are servants to the world for Christ's sake. Christ died for the world. He didn't just die for a few people. He didn't just die for a few select, but he died for everybody in all the world. And so we are servants. He became the servant of the world so he could die for everybody. And so we are servants so we can explain this to everybody. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, back in the beginning, the whole universe was in darkness. And God said what? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. The light began to shine. Now, God commanded that. He hath also shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He can declare the light to shine in your heart. And friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you'll never have to wonder what's going to happen when you die. You'll never have to worry about wandering around in darkness. Since I was 19 years old, I've never had to wonder. I've never doubted. I've always known that the moment this old body, this old heart quit beating and these lungs quit breathing, my soul and spirit would go to heaven, and I'd be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God commanded that light to shine way back there 6,000 years ago. And he can declare it to shine in our heart when we have a knowledge of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his face. Notice the 7th verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What? We have light. We have this light in our earthen vessels, in this body. We've got a light in this body. Now we need to let it shine. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. You see, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to die in your place and pay for your sin, God the Holy Spirit, who is the light, comes in. He comes inside of your body and regenerates you. Now that's the filling of the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the thing we need to do is be controlled by the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do once we've been, if you please, baptized or filled. It's the same thing. We need to be controlled now. And so we have this treasure in this earthen vessel for the purpose of the excellency of the power may be of God. You see, the power to live a Christian life is of God and not of man. You can't live it by yourself. It's a supernatural way of life. It's impossible for any person, just like it's impossible for you to be saved of yourself, of anything that you do, it's impossible for you to live a Christian life. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. As he controls your life, he gives you the power to do what he tells you to do. So you're not powerless. And this power is of God, and we have this excellency. We have this great thing inside of us. Our thing we need to do is to let it shine. To let people know. To let them understand. To be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of witness are you? What kind of light are you giving out? Is the globe dirty? Is the light bulb around that light bulb, is it all black so the light can come out? Are you in fellowship with God? You have your sins confessed so God can clean up the outside and people can see the great gospel and the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you have these old cool oil lamps. And you get too much wick there.
thing would start burning too fast, and all the carbon would deposit on the outside, and you couldn't hardly see. It gets so black. And that's the way we do. We got too much wick in our life. I mean, that's self, you know. So much self there. We're sending off nothing but carbon. We're not sending off any light. We need to get cleaned up so we'll have a good testimony. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You ever been born again? You haven't. You can't.